back with more Air Talk on KPCC. Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today. Larry will be back on Monday. Thanks for sticking with me while he's away. Well, since its passage in 1990, the Americans with Disabilities Act has transformed the way people with disabilities interact with the world. It's enhanced their access to public places, transportation, and businesses. But it hasn't opened up our online spaces to people with vision or hearing limitations. Now there's a legal case that could go before the Supreme Court that would potentially bring ADA protections to the internet. It involves a pizza chain you have probably heard of, Domino's, and it's a case with huge implications for the future of the web. Joining me today to talk about this is attorney and partner at Seyfarth Shaw. Min Vu is here. She leads the firm's ADA Title III specialty practice team and specializes in legal obligations of places of public accommodation. Min Vu, thanks so much for being on Air Talk.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, I just want to lay out the facts here. The case is Domino's versus Robles. I believe that's how the plaintiff's name is pronounced. So what are the facts of this case? What is the plaintiff asking for?
So Robles is a blind individual, and he brought a lawsuit in the Central District of California in federal court alleging that Domino's mobile app, as well as website, was not usable by him because it was not compatible with his assistive technology. For those of you who don't know kind of how blind people use websites, they actually use software called screen reader software that reads the information on the screen to them in an audible fashion. So the issue is that the website has to be designed in a way that works with the screen reader software, and most websites are not. He was claiming in the lawsuit that the Domino's website, as well as the mobile app, was not working for him.
Yeah. I also want to bring into the conversation Kurt Decker, executive director of the National Disability Rights Network, a nonprofit membership and advocacy organization in Washington, D.C. Kurt, so what we're looking at here is instead of wheelchair ramps, disability advocates who are trying to open up the web say it needs to be compatible with things like that screen reader software that Min Vu just mentioned. Is there anything else that they're concerned about in terms of accessibility?
Well, the ADA is an amazing piece of legislation that has transformed our society, but it's definitely an issue of whether the glass is half empty or half full. 30 years later, we are still fighting with a variety of industry and corporations and businesses to make their products and services fully accessible to all people with disabilities. And we did not know about the internet in 1990 when we passed the ADA, but I don't believe that's any kind of an impediment for the law to cover new and creative things that come into our society. There are a variety of things that are happening every day that are changing the way we live, and people with disabilities have the right to have access to those programs and services.
Min Vu, where does this case stand right now? A federal judge in California previously dismissed Mr. Robles' lawsuit because the Department of Justice never issued guidance on this issue, and the judge said the Domino's due process rights were violated. But now the Ninth Circuit stepped in. Where are we now?
Right. So basically, there were two grounds for the district court dismissing the case below. One was that essentially because the Justice Department never issued regulations to make clear that under the ADA there is an obligation to make websites and mobile apps accessible, and then telling businesses, hey, this is the technical standard you need to follow, the DOJ never did that. And so what the district court found was that's a violation of due process because you need to be able to know what the law is in order to comply with it, which frankly makes a lot of sense. The Ninth Circuit disagreed and said that basically there was no violation of due process, that businesses were on notice of a requirement as early as 1996. I do note, however, that the Justice Department never once said anything about mobile apps in 1996, but that is what that's what the Ninth Circuit found. So where we are now is Domino's has petitioned the Supreme Court to hear the case and to review it. And they're obviously asking the court to overturn the Ninth Circuit's decision.
So if the court decides to take this up, it will, nationwide decide whether or not somebody who's blind, who has trouble placing an order through the Domino's website or app, should have the right to have an accessible, friendly web experience. And that will cover the entire country. Right now, the Ninth Circuit covers, what, the Western United States?
Right. I mean, if whatever decision the Supreme Court, well, first of all, the Supreme Court has to agree to actually take the case in the first place. And I think the odds of that are pretty low, just given that they don't really take too many cases to hear. So that's kind of the first hurdle. Assuming that the Supreme Court says, yes, we're going to hear it, any number of things could happen. The Supreme Court could overturn the Ninth Circuit and say, look, it is a violation of due process. That wouldn't be the end of it, though. I mean, I think, you know, at that point, Congress could step in like it did before in the Sutton case and basically make an amendment, like create an amendment to the ADA that clearly says, yes, websites and mobile apps are covered and here are the standards, or DOJ, you must issue regulations about the standards. So it's not as if this is like, you know, the end game. Or the Supreme Court could take the case and say it's okay that, you know, the ADA does cover websites and mobile apps and provide some guidance as to how those cases should go. And that I think either scenario is actually a good one.
We're going to continue this conversation. Min Vu with Seyfarth Shaw is with us. She leads the firm's ADA Title III specialty practice team. Also, Kurt Decker on the line, executive director of the National Disability Rights Network, talking about the issue of accessibility and websites. If you are somebody that would be affected by this ruling and needs to access the internet through accessibility friendly apps or programs, give us a call, 866-888-5722, to talk about how you interact with the web and the way that the ADA applying to the web would change your life. 866-888-5722. It is Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Back after this short break. Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today on Air Talk. Let me give out that number one more time, 866-893-5722, to participate in our conversation about accessibility and websites, because there is a case that could go before the Supreme Court involving Domino's Pizza and its app and website. It's been sued by a customer who is blind and needs the website to be compliant with his screen reader software that he relies on to experience the web. Kurt Decker, executive director of the National Disability Rights Network. Why is this something that should be covered by the ADA? Again, you said it, we didn't even consider the issue of the internet back then. Doesn't the law need to be addressed legislatively or in some other way in order to make sure that businesses understand what their requirements are? Why is this legal avenue the right way to go to change things?
Well, I don't believe it is the right way to go, frankly. I think the answer is quite simple. If every company thought, when they created one of their apps or their website, thought about the impact on people with disabilities and build that into the cost of the development, these problems would go away. I would prefer Domino, instead of spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on legal fees, to actually find a way to make their website and their app compatible with the screen readers that blind people all over this country use. And I think it's a really unfair burden on the disability community to have to go back up to Congress every couple of years and clarify a law that was a very strong compromise, balanced law. There are all kinds of concepts in the ADA that protect businesses from undue burden or expenses that would in any way diminish their ability to survive. And those principles have been in place for 30 years. It is clear to all businesses that they must think about the impact of their businesses and their products and services on people with disabilities. We did go back into the Congress once as a result of the Sutton case, but that was a case that almost eliminated coverage of most people with disabilities. These are individual businesses that should know upfront that this is a requirement of the ADA, the technology is out there, and it's quite simple for them to adapt that into their businesses. I don't understand why they want a business model that eliminates millions of customers from their base. People with disabilities want to participate in all of these kinds of industries and be a part of American life, and why these companies don't see this as a opportunity more customers has always escaped me.
Vincent in Chino Hills is giving us a call. I asked for folks who are impacted by accessibility concerns with the internet to call in at 866-893-5722. Vincent, hi, thanks for calling AirTalk. How would this impact you?
It would impact my wife. She is a college professor and teaches online. She has screen reading software, but a number of websites and various things, including her own program, can be inaccessible to her. For example, our wedding 7 years ago, she was trying to make a wish list, and what would take her an hour or so to find on, say, Amazon or Target's website, I'm able to find in a second because it's labeled gift registry. On their website, it was labeled as list for her on her screen reading software.
This must be incredibly frustrating, not just for her, but for you to watch her struggle with something that should be so easy.
Oh, absolutely. Another funny aspect, because this is a smartphone app, a number of thermometers are inaccessible to her because they have to talk. We have two children. We finally found one that the app would actually read to her using the screen reader on the phone. No of the other ones do that. Mm. That alone was an amazing thing and a game changer for her.
Yeah. Vincent, thank you very much for calling in and sharing your wife's experience and your family's experience. I'm sure that this kind of case is something that, you know, matters so much to so many families like that, Kurt Decker. I'm curious, back in the 90s when ADA was passed, did we hear a lot of the same conversations around potential undue burden on businesses, that sort of thing, when they were talking about the physical location?
Absolutely. Almost every industry came into Congress to fight the coverage of the ADA on their particular business. We had fights with the restaurant associations and the small business associations. Amtrak came in and complained about how they would not be able to comply. And we actually gave Amtrak 20 years to comply. Lo and behold, 20 years later, they did not. And so we've now been involved with some complaints with the Department of Justice against Amtrak. And it's just an example of businesses who should know better and are aware of their responsibility under the ADA, ignoring it, and then, frankly, crying crocodile tears when they're sued by folks who are now been disadvantaged. And then, as I said earlier, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees rather than making their businesses compliant.
You mentioned that there are protections so that there aren't undue burdens, but you can understand a small business owner, somebody who is not an Amazon or a Domino's Pizza, who is very worried about having to pay to overhaul their website infrastructure, right?
Well, that's the whole concept of undue burden was put in place to protect small businesses. So, for example, we didn't expect small grocery stores to have to build expensive ramps to their place if that was going to be an undue burden and actually cause them to close. However, IBM, AT&T, Domino's, large national corporations, have a much higher threshold before they would ever be able to argue an undue burden. The other concept is readily achievable. The answer, the fix to the problem, has to be readily achievable. And in this day and age, we know that these kinds of adjustments to apps, mobile apps, and to websites are out there. They're available. As you just heard, some of them work fine and are great benefits to people who need them. And then there's the other people who just refuse to comply and then complain when they're sued.
Eric in Carthay Square is calling in. Eric, what is your experience with accessibility in the web?
I work at Essential Accessibility. It's a company that helps legal and digital professionals to maintain and achieve accessibility compliance. And great customer experience for people with disabilities does not need to be compromised. If it's built into the development process, a site or app can be fully accessible and beautiful for sighted people and for people who have visual impairments.
It's something that is probably intimidating for a lot of businesses, I'm sure. In a consulting role, you experience that a lot with people not really understanding what's required or how to go about making such a change, right?
I believe it's fear of the unknown there. Basically, people know that they need to do this, and it seems like a larger task than it really is. If somebody is on the path to creating an accessible environment, they'll be able to do that by building into their development process. It is not too much of a burden to do this for a company. It doesn't cost that much. And once it's in the development process, it's just part of everyday life.
Eric, thanks for calling in to Air Talk. Min Vu with Saifarth Shah. Your take on what we're hearing here today, is it as simple as, you know, companies just need to step up and make this shift? We have about a minute left for you to kind of have the last word on this.
I appreciate that, Libby, because I frankly find this whole demonization of businesses to be really unfortunate. The reality is that in order to know how to make your website accessible, there need to be clear guidelines and standards. Now, at the moment, the disability community has been pointing to the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines version 2.0 level AA. I challenge any business, sophisticated or not, to go read those guidelines and really try to understand them. The fact of the matter is nobody, I don't think any business, okay, is going to challenge the concept that people with disabilities should have equal access. They want that, but they also need clear rules. And that's what the Domino's case is about.
Yeah, Min Vu with the Saifarth Shah Law Firm. I'm sorry we're up against a break. It's been a great conversation also with Curtis Decker of the National Disability Rights Network. It's Air Talk on KPCC.